Hi, friends. Welcome to the Contemplative Activist Podcast. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth is inviting a whole new generation of Christ followers to lead what we call 3B ministry, where we measure success using building size, bucks in the offering, and butts in the seats, and become 3C contemplative activists, where the true Christian life consists of communion with Christ, community with one another, and responding to Jesus' commission to go out into the world caring for souls for the greater glory of God. We hope you'll enjoy today's program. And now, here's your host, Pastor Marty Bowler. Hi, friends. Welcome to this ContemplativeActivist.com podcast. It's our hope that these podcasts will offer you a little bit of hope and encouragement as you continue your journey with Jesus. If you're just joining us, we are in the midst of Iggy's Biggies, a 37-podcast/blog series that introduces you to 12 key components of St. Ignatius' spiritual exercises. Right now, we are looking at the first component of Ignatian spirituality, Ignatian Truth Number 1. Ignatian spirituality is all about the spiritual exercise. Today's theme is Practicing the Presence of God. Let me begin by reading today's Lectio Divina from Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the Message Bible. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place, turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning to trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us will stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Over the centuries, Christ followers have experimented with countless ways in disciplining ourselves in the things of Christ. Quite honestly, not all of these efforts have produced the healthiest fruit I'm sure the Master would like to see. Some believe that a good Christian must become sober and sad, removing oneself from the pleasures of this world so that there's no room for the flesh to interfere with the spirit. Others have taken the opposite approach, going out into the world in order to do something good for Jesus, only to find that the flesh can indeed succumb to temptations that are far stronger than our faith can handle. For Ignatius, he found that the closer he wanted to be to Jesus, the harder it was for him to achieve that goal on his own. Interestingly enough, Ignatius believed that, like other Christ followers before him, that the quieter and the more still he became, the more God's Spirit did the good work of Christ in and through him. In other words, when it comes to drawing closer to the heart of God, less is more, and more is less. This should not be surprising to those who study the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, we find this amazing invitation to quietness scattered along the way. Thus, in Ignatian spirituality, as we go through the spiritual exercises, it's so important to know our place in the pecking order of God. Take Psalm 34, for example, verse 8. In the Message translation, it goes this way: Open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Or, simpler still, what about Psalm 46, verse 10 in the NIV? Be still and know that I am God. You see, it's so vitally important for us to understand the role God plays in building relationship with his creation versus the role we, his creation, play in return. As one friend of mine says it, Marty, God always wants to remind you that he's God and you're not. So, as you and I enter into the Ignatian exercises, it's important to know that it's not our strong ability that will determine the success or failure of the entire process. In truth, the more we can relax, take a load off, and be still in God's presence, the easier it will be for God's good work to be accomplished in and through us. Let me read this short piece of poetry. Be still. Be quiet. Stop the chatter. Hold that thought. Allow God to be God while you learn to rest in Him. Take the time to taste and see that the Lord is good. Allow the Master to do the work as you lean into His strength instead of yours. One ancient author, Brother Lawrence, called this discipline of stillness and silence as practicing the presence of God. My wife, Sandy, who has been practicing this discipline in quietness much longer than I have, reminds me that the old saying, practice makes perfect, is not actually the goal here. Only God can make perfect, Marty, Sandy reminds me. Your practice of being still and quiet makes permanent. Good words for those of us who feel we have to do things perfectly for God to be happy with us. Will you pray with me? Father God, I confess that much of my religious training has centered around me doing something first so that you would do something in return. Help me, as I enter into the exercises, to remove my pressing need to do so that I might simply be still, silent, and be. For your name's sake, amen. So here are some questions to consider. Henry Blackaby, in his excellent book, Experiencing God, states that for most of his Christian life, his response to God could be described by the old saying, don't just stand there, do something. But as he drew closer to Jesus, better understanding the will of the Father, he moved his spirituality over to the expression, don't just do something, stand there. Which line best describes my approach to my Christian faith? Am I willing to slow down long enough, being silent and still, so that I might better know God? Finally, we'd love to hear from you today. Let us know how you are experiencing God as you ponder on these things. Why don't you go over to our website, thecontemplativeactivist.com, and click on the Contact Us page. We would love to hear from you. This is Marty Bowler, hoping your day will be full of God presence. And may the good Lord bless and keep you. See you next time on The Contemplative Activist.